Chapter 2.
I needed to ask a legendary warband leader if I could marry his daughter, without any lineage of my own. My smile slowly turned into a frown, and I stared at the redhead as if she'd sprouted wings and a tail. Ira?
I shook my head.
I'm not sure this will go the way you'd like.
What if he says no?
Asta asked, and her concerns mirrored my own.
You'll be fine.
Ira told me with a smile.
I know my father, and he's going to love you. Besides, you don't have to do it right now. It can wait until we don't have so much going on.
But you're not going to soul bond with him until after the wedding, right?
Right.
Ira nodded. That right there was enough incentive to send me into the lion's den, but I truly was worried if Father was going to tell me no. I'd grown wealthy since I'd started traveling and saving dragons. It was a sort of perk of the job that I got to kill a lot of dragon traders and steal all their coins and valuables afterwards. The girls and I were well off now, so if her father wanted a dowry, I could easily provide one. But it wasn't the money that concerned me. I was far more worried about him not liking me because I was an orphan with no family name. After all, he was a living legend, and his daughter was not only beautiful, but she was a skilled warband leader, too. We'll make time soon to go visit your father.
Thank you.
Ira's plump red lips pulled into a smile.
I appreciate your willingness to ask. I know my father can be a bit intimidating.
Oh, not at all. I lied. I know it's customary to do such things. Ira smiled and took another bite of her breakfast, and then we all grew quiet for a moment, while I thought about how exactly I was going to ask Ira's father for her hand in marriage. I'd never even met the man, and I wasn't sure how much he'd like me since our first interaction was going to be a marriage proposal.
Are we going to take the eggs to the council today?
Asta asked as she pointed at the small cottage behind me. Yes, I nodded. We need to inform them about the Elf King's plans, too.
I can't believe that bastard. I can.
Asta shook her head.
He's as cruel as they come.
The elf girl had spent a month in his dungeon for attempting to steal bread to feed herself, and just the thought of it made my blood boil with rage. Asta was one of the kindest, loveliest women I'd ever met. And to think about her being alone in a cold cell made me so mad I could barely stand it. Especially when I thought about the entire ordeal being over her not being able to get enough food for herself. The Elf King was not only a total asshole for his involvement in the dragon trade, but also for his inability or unwillingness to care for his citizens. I suspected this was one reason why I always felt the need to cook for my women. Asta had been so hungry and tired when we'd found her wandering by herself in Alfheim, and it broke my heart to think about her ever being that way again. She was being attacked by a draugr when we'd first seen her, and even then I felt an overwhelming urge to protect her. Perhaps part of it, too, was because we were both orphans, but I thought it was more because I knew how it felt to go hungry from when I was a child, growing up all alone, and I never wanted Asta to feel that way. I always wanted to make sure she, Kaas, Ira, and the dragons were all well-fed and happy. Besides, it was much easier to focus with good food to fill up on. The dragons finished their meals and wandered closer to the fire to lay down and get another nap in before we left to head to the council with the eggs. While the little reptiles slept, my women chatted and finished eating, and I retrieved the trunks full of eggs from the cottage and loaded them into the back of the wagon we'd gotten a week or so earlier, from some dragon-trading assholes in Alfheim. It was amazing to think so many eggs had been taken and intended to be traded. Luckily, the babies were in a sort of hibernation at the moment, so they weren't aware of anything going on around them. When it was time, I'd wake them from their slumber, but for now, it was best for them to stay asleep. After I loaded the eggs in the back of the cart, I found the one-horns wandering in the grass, so I retrieved them and tied them back up to their posts at the front of the cart. The large beasts resembled the horses of Midgard, except a single horn protruded from the center of their foreheads. The two we had were well-trained, and they always stayed close by to graze, so they were easy to care for as well. They also came in handy when we were traveling throughout the realms. Blah had teleportation abilities, but they were still new to him, and he hadn't mastered them yet, so using them frequently took a toll on him physically. If he had to use his ability several times a day, it usually made him very tired, so I didn't like to push him, unless it was absolutely necessary. It was easiest for everyone if we could travel short distances on our own and use Blah to travel between realms, and the little dragon had gotten quite good at getting us to the specific realm we needed to be, though it wasn't always the exact spot we were looking for. Still, it was a lot better than having to wait for a portal to open in the countryside like we used to. It wasn't long before the girls finished their breakfasts, and then they put on some of their own clothes and met me near the cart. Cass now had on the short white tunic she often wore into battle, since it allowed her full movement of her legs. Her ample breasts were just barely visible through the sheer fabric, and her long legs were on full display. The wild mane of hair she had upon waking was gone now, and her strawberry blonde curls hung down to her shoulders and framed her face beautifully. Her violet eyes looked up into the sky as she contemplated something, and I shook my head and smiled at how oblivious she was to her own beauty. Ira had changed into a short green tunic that matched her eyes, complemented her long red hair, and accentuated every curve of her body. The tunic hugged her full breasts, slim waist, and ample hips, so nothing was left to the imagination, and my heart skipped a beat when I thought about how she would soon become my bride. Not only was the redhead an incredible warrior, but in the time she'd spent with me lately, I'd gotten to see a much softer side to her, so I knew she'd make an excellent mother to our future children. Asta, the lovely white-haired elf girl, had decided to keep on my black tunic, and the contrast of it against her fair skin, white hair, and bright yellow eyes was enough to make me catch my breath. She was absolutely stunning as always, and her pointed ears only added to the mysterious loveliness that exuded from her. Her bright pink lips parted into a sweet smile, and she bounced over and kissed me on the cheek before she climbed up into the cart and settled down next to Cass. I made my way into the cart as well, and Blah moved over to lay on my feet so he could continue his nap on the way to the council chambers. Inga curled around Asta's neck and closed her eyes too, and Ufe sat calmly in Kasa's lap and looked around as I pulled the cart out of the courtyard. Svas followed Inga and Blah's lead, and the little yellow dragon climbed up Ira's arm to curl up around her neck and nestle into her long red hair. Before we even pulled out onto the cobblestoned road, I could hear Blah snoring beneath me, but I just smiled and shook my head at his puppy-like exhaustion. I kept the one-horns at a slow pace to protect the eggs in the back of the cart, so it took much longer than usual to get to the council chambers. The scenery was beautiful, though, and I didn't mind spending a little extra time on the road this morning. We passed by a few Aesir here and there, and they waved politely, but mostly it was just us on the road. At least until we got to the marketplace, which was bustling with people as usual. It was a beautiful day out, and as we passed by all the booths, I could smell the sweet and salty treats the vendors were offering. The scents filled the air and brought a smile to my face, and I thought about what I might make for dessert tonight. Well, cooking was one of my favorite things to do. It was the only power I'd considered myself to have before I found out about my ability to control dragons. Of course, cooking wasn't a true power, just something I was quite good at. The skill was bittersweet, since it had been developed more for survival than anything, at first anyway. After I had my own food sources, then I'd been able to experiment and figure out what tasted good and what didn't. I suspected part of my ability to cook came from the fact that I'd eaten so much terrible food in my life, so I knew what was good and what wasn't. My upcoming nuptials with Ira crossed my mind again, and I couldn't help but smile once more. The idea that she wanted to marry me was still foreign and exciting, and I almost couldn't believe someone so talented and beautiful could possibly want me as her husband. I wanted to soul bond with her already, but that was far more serious than marriage. Of course, marriage was serious too, but it could be dissolved if absolutely necessary. There was no turning back from a soul bond. Once we were out of the marketplace, the air was once again filled with the scent of flowers and grass as we arrived at the castle gate. I parked the car and tied the one horns to a post near the fence, and then the girls and I made our way up the large white stone steps to the council chambers.
Do you think the cart will be all right there?
Cass asked in hushed tones as we made our way up the stairs. It won't be there long. We'll get Prana to have someone retrieve the eggs immediately.
Good idea.
The strawberry blonde agreed. Cass's concern made me smile. It still amazed me that I'd managed to find women who were as against the dragon trade as I was. Oh, there were plenty throughout the realms who didn't care, but I thought that was more due to fear or ignorance than it was a true reflection of their character. If they got to see and know a dragon, they'd be as opposed to it as we were, which was why we needed to bring dragons back to Asgard. Our people had forgotten the bond we once shared with the magnificent beasts. The guards at the entrance to the council chambers only nodded as I approached, and then they opened the door for us. When I first started coming to the chambers often, they'd stopped me to ask my business there. But they knew who I was now, so they let me pass by without questioning. I was sure Prana had given them orders to do as much, though I doubted she'd told them exactly why I had so much business with the Council now. Our mission was top secret, hidden from everyone outside of my small crew and the Council members, but especially Odin. Our king was the one to banish the dragons years ago, and because of the fear surrounding the incredible creatures, we knew we had to wait until the perfect opportunity to tell him about our mission. The Council had been saving eggs for years, and they'd even tried to hatch them so they could send them back to the wild where they belonged, instead of keeping them in a secret room. But they'd had no luck. Now, the Elf King seemed to think he'd figured out a way to magically hatch them, but I wasn't about to allow that to happen. We'd rescued all the eggs the Frost Giants were going to sell him, but that was only the beginning. We stepped through the white stone doors into the council hall, and the interior of the castle matched the exterior, with pristine white stone surrounding us. There was a long red rug that ran the length of the room, which added some color, as well as a few flags hung up high on the walls. At the end of the long rug were the council member chairs, where Bea, Rinbar, and Prana sat. There was a citizen already speaking with them, but Prana looked up and cocked a half-smile at me before she turned her attention back to the man in front of her. Blah leapt forward as if he were going to run to Prana like he always did, but I held my foot out to stop him, and he crashed into my leg and fell back onto his tail. The little dragon looked up and glared at me, but I just shook my head and told him to wait. It was rude to interrupt their work. If our business had been urgent, I would have expressed as much, and I knew the council would have obliged. As it were, we could wait for them to finish with their meeting. It only took a moment for the council to solve the man's dilemma, and once he'd gotten his answer, he thanked the council and then nodded to the girls and I as he made his way back outside. As soon as the man walked past us, Blah looked at me with a little raised reptilian eyebrow. Go... I chuckled and gestured to Prana. The little blue dragon scurried across the floor and quickly climbed up into the beautiful sorceress's lap. Inga joined him a second later, and Prana eagerly stroked them both and allowed them to lick her cheeks and hands. Ufe slowly and nonchalantly made his way to Rinbar, the huge ex-warband leader who now served as Odin's right-hand man. I wasn't sure exactly why Ufe had taken to the Aesir so well, but he always visited him when we came here. The small red dragon walked over and laid by Rinbar's feet, but the Aesir was in a good mood, that he leaned down, picked Ufe up, and plopped him on his lap so he could stroke down the dragon's back with long, firm strides. Usually the three dragons were divided among Prana and Rinbar, but now that we had Svas, she ran over to Bea and scurried up his leg to nestle against his neck, since he had no hair to speak of for her to bury herself in. The little yellow dragon didn't seem to mind too much, though. She snuggled up against him all the same, and he smiled and stroked her back gently. It was nice to see one of the dragons take so well to Bea, after it had only been Brenna and Rinbar getting attention for so long. I often felt that Bea was seen as intimidating or unapproachable, when really he was very kind. A long scar ran down from his left cheekbone to his neck, and he tended to be a man of few words, which I figured was how he got the reputation of being so unapproachable. I'd only known him for a short time, but he'd always been kind to both the dragons and me, and he was working with the council to help secretly dismantle the dragon trade, so he certainly wasn't as mean as people said he was. If anyone should be considered intimidating, it was Rinbar. The ex-warband leader was huge, with a full curly beard, long black hair to match, and scars all over his arms from the fights he'd been in. His blue eyes looked almost white from how light they were, and his huge stature only made his gaze that much more serious. Really, he was a very kind man, and his wife was sweet, too. I'd only met her a handful of times at warband meetings, but she'd always been pleasant. Rinbar was usually chipper, which was somewhat unnerving when I thought about how many men he'd probably killed in his day. But his positive attitude had saved him from the intimidating reputation Bea had earned.
Rath?
Prena smiled, and her light brown eyes looked me up and down as I approached their chairs with the girls right behind me.
It's good to see you.
You as well, I told her. The sorceress was astonishingly beautiful, and talented to match. But she was the castle sorceress for Odin, and far out of my league. That hadn't stopped her from kissing me, though, and my heart sped up as I remembered the feel of her full plump lips against my own.
We've brought something for you to keep stored. Ah, yes.
Prena nodded.
They're in our cart.
The strawberry blonde explained.
I will send my guards to retrieve them immediately.
Prena said, and she looked at the two men standing near the door and nodded once. The guards left without saying a word, and I knew they'd retrieve the eggs and take them to the storage room with the rest of them. As much as it pained me to think about all the eggs we had kept away, it was better to house them somewhere safe, where we could one day hatch them after the dragon trade was over. Otherwise they could easily be stolen again, and eggs were more sought after than larger dragons because of the ease of taking them.
They will be well looked after,
Brenna assured us. The sorceress wore a long yellow tunic with full sleeves and a golden chain around her waist. She had a white stone amulet on a silver chain that matched my own, and the rock hung down and landed softly between her full breasts. Her long golden hair swayed slightly as she turned her head to look at the dragons in her lap, and I couldn't help but think about our kiss once more. We also have information to share with you all, I said, and I cleared my throat as I was brought back into the moment. "What is it?" Rinbar asked, and his black eyebrows pulled together as he continued to stroke the now-sleeping Ufe in his lap.
"We found a couple of notes in the Frost Giant's lair yesterday. Here,"
Kaas said, and she pulled the notes out of her bag and handed them to Prena. The sorceress's brow furrowed as she took the notes and unfolded them.
"These are from the Elf King,"
she said, and her light brown eyes grew wide as she looked at me. That's right, I nodded. One is for the Frost Giants, about the payment they were to receive for the eggs we rescued from them.
Well, it's a good thing you got to them before he did. I informed the others about his attempts to magically hatch them.
We still have no proof he's done it yet, do we?
Rinbar asked, as he took the note Prena passed to him. No, not yet. I shook my head. We only know he believes he's found a way to do it.
Well, we'll certainly have to keep an eye on that,
Rinbar said, and then he narrowed his eyes as he read over the notes.
You said you found these in the Frost Giant's lair? Both of them.
Both of them.
One of these is to a dwarf,
he said curiously, and he passed the notes to Bea.
What would the Frost Giants want with a letter from the Elf King to a dwarf?
Bea muttered, and then I saw his chest rise and fall heavily as he read over the note.
This says the dwarf was to make him some specialized weapons.
Yes, I nodded. We believe he's getting weapons made so he can use the dragons he's training to start an all-out war to take over the Nine Realms.
That's quite the accusation.
Bear sighed.
That's what we think his ultimate goal is. Right now he still needs to hatch more eggs, train more dragons, and get those weapons made.
From the information we've gathered, it seems he has camps where he keeps dragons for training.
You believe he's building an army?
Rinbar said in a grim tone.
Yes, I think so.
I nodded.
And the note?
Bear asked, and his dark eyebrows pulled together as he leaned forward and cocked his head to the side.
Have you figured out why the Frost Giants have a note addressed to a dwarf?
Not exactly. We considered they were using it to blackmail the king into giving them more money for the dragon eggs.
They could threaten to expose his plan to Odin or the leaders of the other realms before he was ready to attack. That's certainly something to consider,
Bea said, and Svas curled up closer to his neck as he leaned back in the huge stone chair.
The note says the weapons are to be delivered before the Asgardian summer is over. That's only a few months away.
I know, and I don't intend to let that happen.
I would certainly hope not,
Rinbar said, and his gruff voice was more serious than I'd ever heard it. Usually the huge man was laughing and joking, but today he was utterly stoic.
It seems to me the Frost Giants are up to something. I'm not sure it's the blackmail scheme you're thinking of, but they're certainly using that note for their own purposes. We need to figure out why they had it, and how they got it in the first place, if possible.
I agree. I'd like to go back to Jotunheim and see what other information we can gather on the subject.
I think that's a good idea.
Rinbar nodded.
It appears we don't have long before these weapons are finished, so we need to act quickly.
Not too quickly, though. We still must maintain our discretion.
Of course.
I think I'd like to come with you, if that's all right.
Prena said, and she looked at me with serious light brown eyes.
Oh.
I blinked and looked at the women around me.
That would be wonderful, thank you.
Only if you have the time, of course. We'd never want to pull you away from your duties.
Odin has tasked me with retrieving something from Vanaheim. He won't notice if I'm gone a few days in doing so.
We'll make sure to keep everything running smoothly here.
As you always do.
Prena smiled.
It will be great to have you with us.
Kaas said with an eager smile.
Your powers are sure to come in handy.
Kaas was right. Prena's abilities would definitely be useful, especially with the cave systems in Jotunheim. The entire city was a cave system, and Prena was an expert on walking through walls and casting invisibility spells, which would make our sneaking around a lot more efficient.
And I'll be sure to teach you whatever you'd like to know, Caspier.
Prena told her with a regal nod.
Time permitting, of course. I appreciate being able to study under you whenever I can. It's nice to have such a wheeling and talented pupil.
Prena chuckled, but then she looked at me seriously.
I'm to leave for Vanaheim in a few hours. Can you all wait until then?
Of course, I nodded.
Good. I will meet you at Ramir's shop then, if that is acceptable.
We'll wait for you there.
Then I will see you soon,
she said, before she turned to smile at Bla in her lap.
Oh, I almost forgot. Forgot what? I promised Bla I would get him some pumpkin treats for making me a portal last time I saw him,
she said, and she reached around to the back of her chair as Bla sat up and smacked his lips.
I'm not sure he would have remembered. No, but I did.
Prena smiled and pulled out two bins.
One is for you to share with Inger, Ufe, and Svas.
Bla rolled his eyes and let out a little huff.
Don't be too upset. The other is for you to eat all by yourself.
Bla's long reptilian tail swished back and forth as he eyed the bin and licked his lips.
Would you like them now? As if that's even a question.
Prena opened one bin and set it on the floor for Bla. The little dragon viciously attacked it, and pieces of the sweet pumpkin cake flew out the sides of the bin as he bounced up and down happily. Inga and Svas lined up for their treats as well, and as soon as Prena set them on the floor, they attacked them just as viciously as Bla had. But once again Ufe waited patiently, and then ate his treats with a sense of dignity the others seemed to lack. "Well, thank you, Prena," I smiled. "I'm sure Blar appreciates the treats."
"A deal's a deal,"
the sorceress said with a small shrug, and she retrieved the now empty bins and set them back behind her chair.
"I'll see you in a few hours, then."
"Right," I agreed, and I turned and started toward the door.
"Oh, there's one other thing I'd like to ask before we go."
Ira spoke up, and she spun around to face the council members once more.
"What's that, Ira?"
Prena smiled softly.
"Would you officiate our wedding?"